Welcome to Learned Lag, a podcast about yesterday's Learned League questions and answers. I'm George.
And I'm Amanda. George and I are both in Zephyr A. This is season 32 for George and season 28 for me.
And this is day 23 of season 100, the anti-penultimate day.
Ah, yes.
And our first anti-penultimate question asks us for a combination of the Low Countries' names that was also the name of their economic union.
Well, my first mistake, so that you can tell how well this question went for me, is that I thought the Low Countries would be Belgium, Denmark, and the Netherlands. But that is not the case. So I played around with, you know, the first syllable of each of those names in various combinations and ended up going with Danabel because I just, you know, this was mostly a guess for me. I may have heard of, you know, once I saw the answer, I was like, eh, maybe I've heard of that once before.
I'm surprised. I thought this one was a relatively easy one, especially for someone who's actually studied countries and geography and the like.
This is history, though, really.
Yeah, but I mean, the Benelux countries is a fairly common geographical term for them, I had thought.
I've known this
for most, if not all of my life, that Belgium and Netherlands and Luxembourg are the Low Countries and are known as Benelux collectively.
Okay, then.
So, yeah. As soon as I saw this, I was like, yeah, okay. It must be that. I overthought it a little. Like, it can't just be that, because that's like the common name for those three countries, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I went with Benelux.
And that was the correct answer. But I mean, you having lived in Europe for part of your life, it may seem more common than someone who hasn't.
I don't know that it ever came up.
Okay.
I could be wrong.
Just a thought.
Luxembourg doesn't come up generally.
Well, that would be part of my point as well. It's just like, I have a good picture of where Luxembourg is in Europe is part of the problem.
Fair.
I wouldn't have said, if someone had said, is it near the Netherlands? Maybe. Is it near Belgium? Could be.
Yeah.
I could. You know, it floats around in my mind.
Reasonable.
Question two asks us for a descriptor that fits the characters from two novels from 1952 and 1897, A Young Black Man and A Scientist Named Griffin.
So my first thought was, the scientist named Griffin from the 1897 novel must be the time traveler from the time machine.
Oh.
But then I looked at then I thought, was there a mid-century novel about a young black man who traveled in time? No, that's the Invisible Man, or Invisible Man, rather.
Mm-hmm.
I forget. The Ellison one was just Invisible Man.
Yes.
Was it Wells?
I don't know.
Who did The Invisible Man?
Mm.
Sorry, sore subject.
Yeah,
So anyway, my main thing that I was trying to figure out here was, did they just want Invisible? Or did they want Invisible Man or men? Finally, I decided, well, it says man in the question.
True.
And the description of them as invisible also works. So I'm just going to say invisible.
Right. Yeah, I came up with the same answer pretty directly, just trying to think what would be the common feature between those. And figuring that it's probably something right in the title of the, you know, as it says in the question, then it's going to be something that you kind of know as a surface level bit of knowledge about each of these things. Invisible Man came to mind right away. And I did put Invisible Man, thinking that is the description that appears in each title. Because why would you pluralize it if it's a descriptor of a person? So anyway, I put Invisible Man.
And it was Invisible Men is the official answer.
Yeah, I'm sure that won't actually matter.
I think
matter.
We're going to get it, because that's clearly what they're going for. That's not...
Yeah.
He wasn't going for carbon-based.
Mm-hmm.
So. Question three asks us, for whom was Cleveland Avenue in Montgomery, Alabama, namesake of the Cleveland Avenue bus line, renamed?
I figured this had to be Rosa Parks, who was the, you know, famous civil rights activist. And I believe her action there, refusing to give up her seat, was kind of like the thing that brought about or instigated or something the bus boycott in Montgomery there. And I considered whether this was just named after some other civil rights person. But I really figured if it's about the bus boycott, then Rosa Parks was the spark for that to take place. And so I put down Parks.
Ditto. Same. My first thought was, oh, this has to be about the Montgomery bus strike or boycott that was instigated when Rosa Parks refused to give up her seat. So, yeah, we're going to go with Parks.
And that was the correct answer. And I should say it also kind of fit with my recollection of when these types of streets started to be renamed after Rosa Parks. Because there is a Rosa Parks Avenue in Detroit, too. And of course, she lived in Detroit for a good span of time. Although I'm sort of assuming that much like Martin Luther King and Malcolm X, like many cities adopted, you know, that name for a street in their honor. I'm pretty sure like Lansing has, you know, as an example, has at least one MLK Boulevard or something like that. And so, yeah, I did consider that, but just kind of went, if the bus line is being brought up into it, and if it's not Rosa Parks, that's, you know, going to be news to me.
Yep. And it was Rosa Parks.
Indeed. Question four asks us a bunch of math stuff.
Yeah, that's pretty much my reaction to it as well. Just, I could not even piece together what the hell this HM mean would give you. Like, I just can't, all I could do is figure, okay, what's a math term that starts with H? And I thought of hyperbolic. So, you know, maybe that's the hyperbolic mean. Okay, sure, why not? For lack of any other math term coming to mind, it wasn't like the half mean. No, probably not that. So, yeah, I'll say hyperbolic.
Yeah, similarly, I have not heard of this before. For the benefit of our listeners, we're asked to tell the third kind of the Pythagorean mean. So there's the arithmetic mean, the geometric mean, and then the H mean, whatever the H stands for. And we're given the definition, the mean of n numbers expressed as the reciprocal of the arithmetic mean of the reciprocals of the numbers, which sounds incredibly like meanception to me. I don't, you know, that's the mean of the reverse of the mean of the reverse of the, like, what are you even doing at that point? And so I tried to, you know, parse this out carefully in case thinking about this in terms of like, okay, if I've got a variable X that is, you know, you take the reciprocal of that, it's 1 over X. So you've got the arithmetic mean of a series of those. And so that's, you know, 1 over X plus 1 over Y plus 1 over Z divided by N. And then that is like the reciprocal of that. So like, I just try to think like, what would that look like on a graph kind of? And the, the curve of those, you know, what that might look like. And I thought hyperbolic sounded kind of about right, actually. But yeah, that was really the only math adjacent term that I could think might even apply to this. I thought about other just science-y or math-sounding H words like hermetic or, you know, other things that, you know, I can't even recall if I came up with any others that were plausible at all. Eventually, I came back and just thought, yeah, hyperbolic is about as close as I'm going to get, and I won't sound too ridiculous to whoever's reading this.
Yeah. But it was harmonic.
Okay.
The harmonic mean.
Does it have anything to do, do you think, with, like, all those reciprocals make me think of like sine, cosine, tangent. All right.
Question five asks us for a missing word from the blackjack table text. Goes blackjack pays 3-2, deal on a stand on 17, a muster out of 16, blank pays 2-1.
So this one, I figured all of these are kind of like meant to be something about the outcomes of blackjack, basically. And I thought maybe this was, I figured, I didn't know what this was. So just thinking of words that might fit, I thought maybe over, like if the dealer goes over 21, that pays 2-1 or something like that. Or I thought another term for that might be bust. Like if the dealer goes bust, then you win kind of thing. And pays 2-1 or whatever. I haven't played that much blackjack, so, except decades ago, like on a PC or something like that. Mm-hmm. I haven't particularly played it live, and definitely not in many, many years. So I put bust.
As regular listeners may remember, I spent a lot of my teenage years in Reno, Nevada.
Mm-hmm.
And this was in the 1980s when there was not a lot of things to do in Reno, Nevada if you were a teenager. So we ended up in the casinos a lot.
Mm.
Because we were teenagers, some of us more visibly so than others, we could not play table games. We could not sit at a blackjack table and assume that people would not take a look at us and realize these kids cannot be here. So we would be on the periphery and we'd be doing other things. And this was, you know, as I say, long ago, even before, well, not before cameras, but before the constant surveillance would have immediately summoned forth a pit boss to throw us out no matter where we were in the parts of the casino that we were not supposed to be as teenagers. So that is all to say, I have not played a lot of blackjack.
Mm-hmm.
Haven't done it since. Never spent much time in casinos after that. So this did not summon up a mental picture for me. And I had to think, okay, what are things that pay out in blackjack? And my first thought was double down would pay presumably 2-1. But that's not a word, which is, I believe, the question specifically asks for. Yeah.
Yes.
A word. So the word insurance floated through my mind, but I was like, no, that's not a payoff. That's a different thing, as I recall. That is essentially, if the dealer's showing an ace, you can put some money down. And then if the dealer turns over a 10 and has blackjack, then you don't lose as much or something like that. I don't, as I say, I don't remember the mechanics specifically. So then finally I thought, split. You can split in blackjack if you were dealt the same two cards. You can split and, you know, make an additional bet. And, you know, like you instead of playing two eights, which is 16, you play one hand with an eight and you get another card. And then the other hand has an eight and you get another card on that. And you go from there and you're playing two separate games against the dealer again.
I can tell how much blackjack you haven't played.
Yeah, well, I mean, you pick it up. Never been on a horse race either, but I know what
just
that
kidding.
Is. So I thought, okay, that makes sense because that would pay 2-1. That would pay double your initial bet. So I'll go with split.
Sadly, the correct answer is insurance.
It was insurance. Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is, I guess it's considered a bet rather than some other thing.
Sure, I guess. And I'm sure that appeared in the like computer game version of it that I played long ago.
Entirely possible.
Because it sounded familiar to me, but I would never have picked it out of. I wouldn't have remembered its existence in the absence of this question.
Right.
Finally, question six asks us, where is the robot named Odysseus located?
Of course, my first thought was, this is one of the Mars rovers or robots or the like. Mm-hmm. Mars, of course, being the only planet we know of to be entirely populated by robots.
Right.
But then I read it again and thought, late February 2024, that's something that just happened. Oh, wait, this is the one that went to the moon and fell over.
Yeah.
And then I realized, oh, yeah, it's asking, once again, rule one, read every word in the question. Texas-based private company, Intuitive Machines. Mm-hmm. Private company was the big, like, that was the thing, was like, oh, you know, free enterprise is going to the moon, and you're going to see how good the private sector is at getting stuff to the moon and mapping and landing on the moon and figuring things out, and then sure. It fell over. Because, hey, maybe the billions of dollars we've thrown at NASA over the last 70 years actually did something.
Yeah.
Anyway. Rant truncated. So this was the moon, I was fairly certain of. I believe I just said moon.
Okay. Yeah, I had read about this and skimming the headlines as I want to do, and I just knew that, yeah, that like you said, it was sort of the first for a private company to land something there at all. And I think I've seen it treated a little more neutrally as just like the fact that it got there at all is, you know, something of a good thing. But it is kind of hilarious that it also tipped over.
Yeah. Things are learned even in failure.
Yeah. But yeah, this is just one that I knew. It's a perfectly cromulent current events question, and with a science angle, if you're so inclined. So I put down the moon, and in fact, just because. Where is this located? Moon. Is not how I talk. So even though I know that the definite article doesn't matter.
There are lots of moons.
True.
And saying the moon is just as defensible as saying moon.
Oh yes,
it is referred to as moon.
I mean, technically it should be Earth's moon, because it could be lots of moons, and exactly. That would be a big deal. But yeah,
have we landed anything on any other moons? I don't think we have.
No, I don't think so.
I could be wrong.
I think there are projects to try to go to some of them, but like
going close to them.
What do you call them? Explorer kind of.
What was the one in the
spacecraft?
What do you call it? The other trivia thing we just did.
Oh, and the inkling thing.
The juice. There was a mention of that. Is that going to a moon? Is it already there? Is it actually going to be on any of those moons?
I don't know.
You read the question. That's all.
I think it was going to go by them. I don't think it was going to land on them, because there's like three different moons.
Yeah.
So for it to land and then lift off again and go to a next one would be quite
amazing. It's like a pool amazing. Shot.
Yeah, you gotta bank it.
Gravity.
You gotta bank it off Io. So, anyway. Yes.
So I had four.
I had three.
I was bummed because I was. I really thought I was onto something with that hyperbolic.
I know, right?
The math term that starts with H.
I am at least relieved that both my opponents are not strong in math. To the point that I made that the three for both of them.
Fair.
And so we can all be have camaraderie in our missing that, because I think that's going to play pretty tough unless people have high math scores. Because I don't even know, like, I still can't tell what you'd use this for, like, remotely.
That's so many math things are like that. speaking of math terms start with H. After I had submitted, I saw something about happy numbers.
Oh.
And I'll just let people look that up, because if I explained it to you, you would think I was making fun of math.
Which you would never dare to do, correct?
Happy numbers if you want to see how desperate some mathematicians are to make things interesting.
I don't, if I'm being honest. I don't. I don't need to know. But yeah, this is one of those things where, like, oh, I should say I was scored as correct yesterday.
Oh, yes, that's right.
For Tarantelle, giving me the retroactive beer.
I was also scored correct for Tarantello.
Right.
So.
They let
people go real far afield on that one.
Yeah, it's amazing to see a question specify correct spelling and then walk it back that there is not just one correct spelling, apparently. Yeah. But hey, good for me. That won me the match and got me the beer. And so I drank that earlier today.
I only got five yesterday, but I am now safe from relegation.
Oh, I haven't checked to see if I am.
You are technically not.
Oh boy.
if you lose all three, and the person who's currently in 24th in Arundel wins all three by a total of 9 points or more.
Okay.
Then you may fall that far.
Okay.
But I am 7 match points up.
Right.
With
right.
3 days left.
Well, that's good.
As long as I don't forfeit, I'm good to go.
Yeah, and it sounds like it's it sounds like I'm in relatively good position.
I would say you are as safe as one could be without being technically safe.
Okay. So. We'll keep our fingers crossed.
Yep.
I assume nothing. I am up against someone, a friend of ours, who I know is very, very good. So I don't like my odds today. And I also don't like the trend this season where I seem to be oscillating between like a beer and a three and a beer, you know. A 5 and a 2, like, you know, there's been a few 4s in there and stuff too, but it's a little bit of a whipsaw, so hoping to finish strong in the last few match days here.
Yeah. Well, that's it for today. Tune in tomorrow for more post-game analysis. Follow us on Blue Sky @LearnedLag with all the vowels. And remember,
don't forfeit.
Don't cheat.